Father, we thank you once again. We affirm that we can only really build our life on you. You are the eternal God, all-powerful, all-present. We thank you that you are the one who sees the beginning from the end. You are the Alpha and Omega, and we can build our life upon your love. In Jesus' name, amen. Recently, I met a guy who I hadn't seen for about 18 months, and I was glad to see him even for a short while, but I was a little bit surprised at what he said to me. He said, "Wow, you're looking old. Last time I saw you, you were looking young." And I'm thinking, okay, that was only 18 months ago. And secondly, have you never read the book, How to Win Friends and Influence People? Clearly not. So I kind of thought about that. I was taken aback for a moment. But I thought, do you know what? Nobody likes change. Nobody likes the environment that we find ourselves in at the minute. It's change and having to adapt. But actually, getting older is part of life, isn't it? There is a bit more grey hairs. I do have to admit that, even to you, Sophie. There's a few more grey hairs than I'd like. But it's part of growing up. It's change is part of life. And actually, change is part of the Christian message as well. We've been doing a series called A Time to Plant, and Philip's going to share that for us now. And just a very, very brief reminder of what we've looked at in that. And we've looked at some of the key truths on the second slide, Philip. Key truths that we've looked at over the last few weeks that actually I think are very important for us. God wants our identity to be rooted in his love. There's nothing else that's eternal. There's nothing else that will satisfy. There's nothing else that's secure. Second thing we looked at is that God works primarily through process, not just events. We like the events. They're nice. They're exciting at times. But actually, God works often through process. Key truth three that we looked at last week is that God will take us through changing seasons of identity. On the next slide, you'll see one of the things that we talked about. You may remember it from last week in the butterfly and the story of the hungry caterpillar. It's actually a biblical idea. It's this idea of metamorphosis. It's the idea of change, the caterpillar changing into a butterfly so that it can fulfill its potential, so it can be free, so it can actually fly. That's actually what God wants in us. And I want to just highlight five simple things very quickly this morning to encourage you to talk about how does God actually bring change into our life. That's the big question for many of us. And we've looked at these headings briefly before. So go on to the next slide for me, please, Philip. So the first one is grace. This is the truth that we don't get what we deserve. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad we don't get what we deserve? Next Friday, on Good Friday, when we meet at 10:30 a.m. again online, we're going to have some creative stuff again for junior church and for children. But that's really what we're looking at when we think about Good Friday. We don't get what we deserve, so join us for that. I think the most important Bible passage that we can imagine is Luke 15. It's the story of the prodigal son. And even if you don't know the details, you'll know the concept. The fact that someone has gone a little bit wayward, the fact that someone has done their own thing, made their own decision, walked away from the safety and security of their home. And in the story, he ends up getting to a place where he's fighting with pigs to get some food for his dinner. Now, however much there isn't in Lidl or Aldi or Tesco's, however much we struggle to get the hand sanitizer or the soap, none of us are fighting pigs to get some food. And he eventually comes to his senses and says, "Listen, even my father's servants have got better than this." So he makes the long journey home, and he had his speech rehearsed because he thought the father was going to give him a hard time. But the Bible records that the father came running, which is unusual. Fathers in the Middle East would never run because they would have had to pull up their long cloaks. That was not seen as seemly or something that was nice. it wasn't part of the custom. So the fact that he ran to meet him is incredible. Not only that, when he ran to meet him, he threw his arms around him. Literally, he almost fell upon him. Some of you who have pets, maybe you come in from a day not having seen them. They, especially if it's a dog, they jump up on you and nearly knock you over. Or maybe you haven't seen someone for a long time and they give you a big hug and you kind of rock back on your feet. That's the idea. The father threw himself on the son. And right at the end of the story, he makes this incredible statement that's on your screen. Everything I have is yours. That's the good news of the gospel message. That's the good news of Christianity. That's grace. When the Father comes and says, everything I have is yours. We need to experience that, and we need to experience the welcome home of the Father. Whatever we've done, wherever we've been, God welcomes us home. The second thing that God uses, transformers, is this idea of growth. One of the surprising things that I'm finding at the minute is I'm actually missing the gym. Let me clarify that for you. What I'm missing is the steam room and the sauna at the gym. Missing a little bit of exercise as well, but mainly the steam room and the sauna. The thing with the exercise is I know I have to do it, but I really don't like it. I'm committed to doing it because I have to. And that's actually what the Bible talks about as well. Paul uses the analogy two times in the Bible, in 1 Corinthians and 1 Timothy that are on your screen now. And the concept he's saying to us is you have to train yourself to be godly. I used to do a lot of running. I used to do quite long distances and I did cross country. But I can assure you that if I tried to go out and run a marathon tomorrow, I'd be in trouble. It just wouldn't work. You just can't go out and do that sort of distance without preparation, without a training regime. We understand that. We know that. And it's the same when we think about spiritual growth. Some of you maybe think that your Christian life is about trying harder and it's kind of... But that's not what it is. It is about putting some of the disciplines, some of the commitments into our life of the things that will help us grow. These five things are an example of that. But it requires a commitment. It requires a commitment on ourselves. It requires a training on our part. It does require effort, but not effort to be accepted by God. We have that. That's what grace is for. But out of that acceptance, we want to have the relationships and the habits that will actually train us to be godly. So let me ask you a question. Are you arranging your life around godly habits? What are you training yourself to be? When I left school and went to college, one of the things we did was computer programming. And our tutor had this mantra that he tried to instill in us. And he said, with computers, it's garbage in, garbage out. So if you put garbage into a computer, guess what you're going to get out? Folks, that's not only true of computers. That's not only true of our phones. That's true of our minds. That's true of our life. Train yourself to be godly. The third thing that will help us go and God uses to bring change into our life is the transforming power of community. For us, that's a little bit different at the moment, online or maybe directly with those who are living with us. But actually, it's a very strong concept in the Bible. Anywhere where change comes, it comes through community. Jesus spent a whole night praying before he chose his disciples, and we know that they did some incredible things. In fact, the Bible says that he gave them power and authority to deal with spiritual forces of evil, to heal the sick, to preach the good news. But before he did that, the verse that's on your screen is Mark 3, verse 14. It says that they might be with him. Now just pause for a moment. See, we're used to getting to the exciting bits, aren't we? We like the events. We like the dramatic things. That's human nature. We like to be entertained even spiritually entertained. But actually, Jesus comes and says, I want them to be with me. And one of the ways is that we pursue meeting together, whether it's in small groups, but with people who are committed to each other's spiritual growth. So even if you have to do that online at the moment, even if you have to do that in a very small environment, find yourself people who are committed to your spiritual growth that will speak into your life, that you can have the transforming power of community. How does that work in practice? Well, I think Jesus gives us a great example. He demonstrates it in his own life. How do relationships help us become more like Christ? We need two elements. Firstly, I think they're on the next screen, Philip. Two things that are on your screen. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father full of grace and truth. If we're going to grow in relationships, if God is going to transform us, then what we need in our life is grace and truth. Grace means we have that sense of acceptance from God, but also from other people. And truth means that people will speak the truth into our lives. Philip, I think there's the next slides. Grace in relationship is radical acceptance, and we all need that. We all need people who will embrace us and love us, even with our shortcomings and failures. And the truth that presents us with a sense of Christ's direction and boundaries, which will keep us from falling further into destructive habits, into sinful patterns. These are the important things that help us grow. The fourth thing that will help us grow is gifts. The Bible says that God is the giver of every good and perfect gift. Everything that comes down from heaven that's good and perfect has its origin in God. The early church leader, Paul, describes some of the spiritual gifts from his own experience. Next slide, please. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit is the source of them all. There are different kinds of service, but we serve the same Lord. God works in different ways, but it is the same God who does the work in all of us. That's an incredible statement from Paul. That God is working as we use our gifts. It's the same God, even though we work in different ways. The crucial verse, I think, is found in verse 7. It should be on the next slide. They're critically important for us. A spiritual gift is given to each one of us so we can help each other. It's not to parade how clever we are. It's not to publicly display how good we are, how gifted we are, how much God loves us more than someone else. The spiritual gift is given so we can help one another. So whether that's a public gift up front or whether that's a behind-the-scenes gift, the important thing is that we learn, that we grow together, we grow in groups, and God will transform us as we use our spiritual gifts. So the key is not that we kind of cherry pick what the gifts are, but that we discover how God has gifted us and we develop that to the best of our ability. Our final one is giving. I understand giving is a sensitive subject. It's always a sensitive subject in the UK. It's always a sensitive subject in Britain because we like to think that some things are private. For many people, they say, well, religion's a private thing. We don't talk about that. We don't talk about politics. But I think the third thing that people don't like talking about is giving. But you know what? We all have treasures. I've been doing a lot of clearing out at home. Maybe some of you have been doing that as well. Getting rid of some clothes that Bev's been telling me for ages I need to get rid of, but I like them. Maybe some other stuff, that lead that might just come in handy sometime. Everyone has a man drawer. Every man has a man drawer. Yesterday, I was ruthless, and I decided to keep those things that I treasure. We all have them. Maybe they're not valuable to anyone else, but they might be valuable to us. Jesus said something about treasure as well. He said, we all have a drawer of treasure. We all have a bag of treasure. Mightn't be valuable to someone else, but actually we have them. The thing is, he said, be careful what you put in your bag. In Matthew 6, verse 19 to 21, the whole context of that passage is about not worrying, about not being fretful, about not being anxious of tomorrow. If you've not read that whole chapter from verse 19 of Matthew 6, do read it. I think it speaks into our culture and into our society at this time. We don't have to live in anxiety. And Jesus says to us, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moth and rust do not destroy and where thieves do not break and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Wherever your treasure is, that's where your heart is. It's important that we actually understand. It's important that we realize the challenge that comes to us all. How close are we to fully embracing God's priorities? Particularly in the area of giving. Does the way I invest my treasures reflect the values that Jesus taught and lived? Is my generosity modeling His? And then has it grown or declined in the last year? Those are challenging questions to us all because they challenge the things that we actually treasure. Are we people who are willing to give away? And you may say, well, what right have you to talk about that? This is private. That's what I do with my money. What I do is up to me. But here's the thing. Jesus talked about money and possessions and stewardship of that more than he did about heaven and hell. If you look at the Gospels, 2/3 of the Psalms are about stewardship of our resources. So you see, if I didn't talk about it, if I didn't encourage you, if I didn't challenge you, I would be ignoring 2/3 of what Jesus said. So it's right that I do. Because these things, and particularly in the area of giving, Jesus said they actually reveal our heart. So this morning as we draw to a close, I want you to think about where God is maybe challenging you. Where is God calling you to respond to Him today? Where is He asking for transformation? Where is He asking you to plant and sow into this season in your life? For some of you, it may be grace. Maybe you don't understand. Maybe you've never experienced the welcome of the Father. You can experience that this morning. You can experience that today. Maybe it's growth. Maybe you think the Christian life is simply about you trying harder, or maybe you think it's no effort at all. Train yourself to be godly. Maybe it's about groups. Maybe you need the commitment to gather people around you who will speak into your life, who will speak the right things, displaying as Jesus did, grace and truth. We need both in our lives. Maybe for some of you it's about gifts. Using your gifts, whether that's behind the scenes, whether that's helping others, whether that's more public and more upfront, whether that's the NHS, whether that's teachers, whether that's social care, using your gifts full of grace and truth to serve others. And maybe for some of you today, it is giving. Maybe that will be financial. Maybe you'll have to reassess what you're doing with your money at this time. Maybe it's other areas of giving that you actually have to think about. Philip, you can stop sharing the screen and then I'm going to speak just for a moment. I hope you find those words encouraging. I hope you find them stretching and challenging. I'm going to pray in a minute. Some of you who may be listening, maybe you've never embraced God. Maybe you've never started that relationship with Him. I'm going to give you the opportunity to do that today in a very simple way. We teach our children good manners, don't we? We teach them to say sorry, please, and thank you. And then coming to embrace God, coming to embrace God's grace for whatever area of our lives, we can say those same things. So I'm going to bow my head and lead you in a prayer. And you can say something like this if you've never embraced God's grace. Father, I thank you for this message of what Jesus has done for me. I'm sorry that I've lived life my own way. I'm sorry that I've been like the prodigal in one or many areas of my life. But today I'm choosing to receive your grace, to receive the welcome home of the Father. I'm sorry for living life my own way. Thank you that you accept me in Jesus, that you welcome me. Please come into my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit that I could live a transformed life depending on you. In Jesus' name, we pray.